and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Mr. and Mrs. House Parks Show. Good morning, everybody.
Oh, good God.
Does my voice sound different now that I'm married? 6 minutes after the hour. Yes, it is the, everyday something thing.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that God. Heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
The hump days.
Hump days with House Parks.
Yes! Yes!
All right. House Parks is here live with me
it's
in New York.
True.
We've been living together for 2 days.
Yes, cohabitating, living in sin.
Did you see how I tarted it up for the house dream this morning?
I know. It's very impressive.
I'm wearing a sort of a see-through shirt, Chris. Can you see that on Skype?
Yeah, she's got a... You can her bra underneath is kind of black. It's like
a sports bra. I mean, I'm going to the gym after, but yeah. It's, you know.
Well, you're PNX-ing,
I'm wearing a peace
actually,
t-shirt, but... or for Hal, it's a piece of t-shirt.
Right.
How did you wake him up this morning?
I belched. That's how I...
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then one of my 130-pound dogs laid on him.
Right.
And crushed him.
I was like, Steph, you might want to shave before you come to bed. That's, like, amazing. Wow, it's usually...
If Hal wasn't sleeping, Chris, if he was sleeping, he wasn't anymore, because my 230-pound dogs have to go by his bedroom to get out to the outside.
So yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, and she's singing, you know, Rawhide. Song when she takes
how are you sleeping? Try to get up, honey.
It's like sleeping in Jurassic Park.
It's exactly what it is. I think they figured out how to open my
oh, no.
Door.
The Triceratops is here.
No, that'd be Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah.
Making the glasses of water vibrate all over the house.
Exactly.
What is that? All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. And what a show we have for it. By the way, this is going pretty much as planned, Chris, 2 days of marriage, and now we're already, what was cute 2 days ago is already irritating.
Oh, yeah. No.
Little habits.
What happened?
Well, he left my door unlocked 3 times.
Oh.
Three times he left my New York City door unlocked. I'm like, honey, could you? The first time I was like, honey, you left the door.
Well, there are 4 doors
right.
to get into our apartment.
It's a little like a vault. It's New York, so it's a vault.
Yeah. One of which always is open. Like, it's kind of just, they're there just for show, but they're too close to stand between the door and the unlocked door, you know, the lockable door, so that you actually have to, you know, like, usually you have a little area where, like, oh, it's raining, I'll open this door, which is always open, and then I'll start working with my keys where I'm dry and happy. And then,
it's like a game show, Chris, in New York. It's you have a buzzer, and so you have to move really fast. Once you hit the thing, it's like you got to get through 6 doors.
Go inside, look out.
Right.
And it's like, oh, God, I got, like, 6 doors I got to get through before the buzzer starts.
What do we have for a warm day inside?
Wait a minute, you have one buzzer for all 6 doors?
Well, it's not 6 doors.
No.
Listen, I went to visit a friend and I didn't make the 4. Second door. And then you got to ring again. You're like, no, I'm too slow. I didn't make it. Can you do it again?
It's bad. So the second door you have to lock and it shuts behind you and it locks fine. Like when you just leave it alone. The third door also, if you close it behind you, just stop. It locks on its own. The fourth door you have to physically lock again. So one can be forgiven, I think, for not locking the fourth door. That being said, I have continued to, since the first day, lock the fourth door. Now, there is also a second entrance to the property that is I call the Bat Cave, where you enter through an underground.
That's where the dogs go in and out.
Yes.
It's the downstairs. That's where I go in and out.
Yes, right, which I think feng shui-wise we need to work on.
So Mr. Television was going to do Joy Behar yesterday.
Yeah.
And you were already bitching about my husband. And I was going to go walk the dogs. However... So he went out that door, and he doesn't have a key to that door. So then I had got a phone call, which I was on for like a half an hour. It was a business call. So I went back down, and both of those doors were open.
Well, she was right after me. She was coming out right after. She's like, I'll be right there. And I go, okay, well, I'm not going to lock the doors behind me like I'm punking her or something. Like, oh, yeah, I'll hold the door for you. Shoop. Ah, it's like letting an elevator close. You can't do that. That's not right. Anyways, so it's interesting getting out of. I've decided that the best way for me to enter and leave the apartment is to the house, Wayne Manor, is to lower myself in on a wire like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. That is the only way. As long as I don't touch the floor or anything and set off any of the alarms, I'll be okay.
Any alarm? Oh, yes, there is. There's lots of alarms.
Yeah, there are. There's not only alarms. There's two giant.
Oh, you didn't see
the back
door? I've never seen this in my life, Chris. I've told you about
I beg
this.
Your
the house is like a. It's like. The house is like a. It's like a giant tuna can. It's a, there's an actual iron door that closes over the patio door that you can.
Yeah.
It's an iron.
Do you need a can opener to get out of the house?
Yes, you need
a
can opener. Someone to get you out of there in the morning.
Yeah, it's not, and there's stuff in it, so
you need
can't,
to put the candle back. That's how you get out.
You have to negotiate.
Listen to me very carefully. Put the candle back.
Put the candle back. Hell, I can't get out of this apartment.
Right. Yeah, so, and the other option, too, I guess, is I could drop into the yard behind the house, like in the kind of, what are those areas called, and like where all the apartment buildings have combined. But that's where she lets the dogs out, so you could just, it's like being dropped into a bullpen.
Oh.
Full of live bulls. You know, like,
and poo.
Yeah, and poo, right, so you can't even get your footing.
All right. We have a big show coming up. We have Debbie Wasserman Schultz, one of our very favorite Congress critters, later this hour. Carlos Alzraki,
yes,
comedian extraordinaire, joins us an hour or two in the L.A. studio. And Carl Frisch. It's Frisch, you know, for Media Matters. We'll co-host Right Wing World today. So we have lots of stuff on the agenda. StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Eric in Ohio writes, Steph, congratulations on your two-day marriage to Hal Sparks. That's as long as anybody should be married. Day three is when you start to notice all the little imperfections, like that Hal is just using you to get out of paying for a hotel room. What? I thought you loved me.
She's using me to install things and put them together.
He put together my P90X chin-up bar yesterday.
Yeah, with her.
It was magic.
With her Phillips head screwdriver from 1947.
Oh, Stephanie.
It's the kind that you use to, like, assemble a watch. Like, it's got the, you know how they have the narrow head on them? So they're absolutely, all they're good for is stripping screws. That's the whole purpose of this Phillips head, is to strip screws.
Mama's tools are in L.A. I was like, I don't know, honey, go in the basement. But there's man things down there.
Yeah. The pliers are also from, I think, an Erector set, like given away on A Christmas Story. Like, they're so thin and kind of warbly, and it's just meant to slip and cut your hand.
Yeah.
You know?
We seriously are like a 50s household. I'm in there doing my P90X, my Jack LaLanne calisthenics, and my husband's in the other room assembling things.
And griping. Just complaining. Damn, what the hell's wrong with that stupid screwdriver. Why can't we have any nice things? Like, I'm actually showing on the webcam right now my scratched middle finger from the, where it's, you know, I slipped because of the stupid, like,
stupid. And,
you know why? I cut my hand putting my chin-up bar together, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You incompetent boobs.
Well, at least I can put it together.
Yeah. It's assembled now.
It's a boy. You need a penis to know how to do those sort of things. There is something missing in a chick wiring that I don't. It was just, you know, Chris. I almost wept when I got it. I'm like, I don't. It's in all these pieces, and I don't.
I think you were almost going to fly me out there to put it together for you.
I was. Well, and then fortunately you told me it's optional when you start, so
yes,
I didn't need it
is.
To start the P90X program because I was in a little crumpled heap. Like, I can't start.
Also, let's also, you hang the, you know, this is the chin-up bar that you hang on a door frame, mm-hmm. and that you don't actually have to add any extra, you know, stuff to hang it there. Her door frames are, I'm not kidding, 13 feet tall.
Oh,
literally, the doors
no.
in this apartment are 13 feet high.
Right, because she has those vaulted
ceilings.
What kind
of shape I'll be in.
Just to get the dogs through, I think. But, you know, in case they get on their hindquarters and get stuck in the room. I'm not kidding. The doors are huge.
Oh,
throughout the whole place. And that's not me. I mean, the interior doors, not the four exterior doors that you need to go through.
Just
like
imagine
Maxwell
what
Smart.
My P90X endorsements will be like, Chris, in a month or two. I can leap over tall buildings into 13-foot doorways.
She's going to look like a Na'vi. She's going to be so stretched out and long, like big, giant, flowing arms.
I haven't technically
and hair
lost
that
weight,
you
but
have
I'm
sex
seven.
With.
I haven't technically lost weight, but I'm 7 feet tall now.
Yeah.
I'll just be stretchy. Okay. You know, by the other thing that Hal did yesterday is mocked me mercilessly for my paper calendar. For yes. which I got a great deal of support online, Chris, I'll have you know. Mm. Chris in Yankton writes, Steph, don't let him mock you for having a desk calendar. Some people retain information better when they can see it presented visually in that format. For whatever reason, it helps them commit the dates to memory better than viewing the same information on an Outlook or a BlackBerry. Everybody learns differently. How? However, even though listening to the Sinatra channel and having a desktop calendar okay, I wouldn't advise having a dead screenwriter floating in your pool. You're still big. It's the radio that got small. Thank you, Chris, for pointing that out. That's what I mostly
say. I am big. It's the picture that got small.
Hal, have you finished the first draft of my screenplay?
I'd say anything with my eyes. Yes, I'm working on my manuscript for the cinematograph so that Stephanie can make her comeback.
Kate in Madison writes, Steph, I have two old-school paper calendars, a notebook-style planner, and a huge wall one, on which my husband and I write all of our scheduled stuff. This way, I don't have to fire up my computer just to see what I'm supposed to be doing today. Don't let anyone talk you into a computerized calendar. I have one. I don't use it. You keep the faith, girl. Kate in Madison. Thank you, Kate, for your support. Grandma likes to be able to see. Which days are bingo and which days?
Yeah,
are bunko.
Put my little SNL stamps on there.
Right, yeah. I love it when March of Dimes sends me labels.
SNH stamps.
That way I don't have to write up in the corner on every minute.
Steph, they were SNH stamps. SNL stamps were something completely different.
Saturday Night Live.
Where are they?
SNH, green stamps.
Oh, I knew it was something like that. My mom had them.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have to turn Chris up a little. They can't hear him in the chat room. He's very quiet.
Hello.
For whatever reason. Yes, there we go. Is that better?
Hello. Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Anyway, yeah, I'm sticking with my paper calendar. I don't care what young whippersnappers like Hal Sparks say. All right. Oh, by the way, I said I think anyone married to Hal Sparks would have to kind of learn to live with the fact that he's going to keep dating. Because although we've been living in domestic bliss, Chris, he did. Then you went on a date with another woman, and he's like, two. I'm sorry. Grandma's too old to stay up that late. I didn't realize there were two dates.
No, there were actually three. I'm kidding. They weren't dates. Mm. I was hanging out with friends here in town that I don't get to see very often, and I tried to crowbar everybody in one evening because I'm only here 3 days.
You know, Chris, this is going to change the radio show. So I'm going to have to give him the silent treatment for the rest of the show, which is not good for radio.
No.
That'll show him.
Yeah.
But, you know, we did go for a walk in the park, by the way.
I'm sorry. Did Hal say something, Chris? I can't hear him.
Don't you miss those days in the park?
What, yesterday? Yes.
Yeah, right. Thank
During
you.
The Iditarod?
Right, yes. I referred to walking Steph's dogs as the Iditarod because they drag you like a snow sled behind them. They're huge. These dogs.
If you would like a visual, you can go to stephaniemiller.com and under the gallery section.
Photoshop fun section, yes.
Oh, all right. Oh, take a gander at mom's dogs.
Yes, by the way.
No, that's the Steph's dogs section.
Thank you.
Yes. They have to have their own section. I think that's the biggest impact on your bandwidth.
Yes.
It's the pictures of the dogs. Play that sound again, and I'll do my impersonation of Stephanie. This is where they get to be off-leash. You're not supposed to have them off the leash, but this is where I have them off the leash. This is where I let them off the leash. They have so much fun. Don't worry. They don't like babies. They're going after the mom.
You know, Chris, I'm not used to having people that can listen to my psychotic dog monologues.
Yeah, I know.
Hal's like there all the way. Who's Brad? Who's a handsome romantic boy? Oh, hi, Hal. I didn't see you standing there. 19 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal. We'll get into the big healthcare televised debate and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, the bloom is off in Mr. and Mrs. Hal Sparks, Rose.
I don't know.
He's just playing his heavy metal. Like, turn that off! We're going, coming back! Owen! 25 minutes after the hour.
What a dream I was having. Louis Armstrong was trying to kill me.
I love obscure references
can,
do.
The Hal is video streaming us here in New York on HalSparks.com.
Yeah, at / livestream or at livestream.com/HalSparks.
We have way more people in the chat room than anybody on the internet. Ha-ha.
Look at that. We've got 276 people in there already.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Woo! Party at HalSparks.com right now, everybody. Okay.
Serious. Sorry, I'm getting serious.
Serious now. He does. He plays heavy metal, Chris, in the commercial breaks.
Ah.
And we ignore each other. It's kind of a typical marriage.
Yes.
Right. For the record, I was crawling under the desk a moment ago. I mean, I think that's reason enough. You know, I really was. I was down under the desk.
And you know me, Chris. I'm very fickle about, you know, one minute I'm like, oh, I love New York. And then yesterday it was cold and rainy. And I'm coming home, Dylan.
And I don't know, it's wet and the dogs are all dirty now.
Oh, boy.
I went to a party last night, Chris. What did it cost me? What did I figure that out? Let's see. First cab was down to the East Village, East Lower East Side.
Right.
That was like $25 cab ride because it was blowing and raining. I was going to take the subway, but... That's a whole thing right now.
Wait a minute, they charge more when it's blowing and raining?
No, it's just a long ride. Oh, and because you got to take several trains, and I didn't know how to do it, and I was late. And anyway, then it was another $10 cab, and then both of them were fifth floor walk-ups. And right. I forgot my umbrella both times. So, oh, you know, Mama can maybe skip P90X today. That was another $20 cab ride. I'm never leaving my apartment again. I left my original plan of never leaving my apartment.
Right. Well, I got the cab this morning so that she has to, you know.
I have to put out before he leaves. His flight isn't until 6 o'clock, so he's going to yell something after the show.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to, you know.
I said, I'm going to be a traditional girl and let you pay for the cab. And he's like, and I'm going to be a traditional man.
Right. And expect something in return. Thank you.
Expect a little something. All right. Hal, you know I think you know what a dream my life has been this week. A, married to you. B, Joanne Worley was on yesterday.
Oh, wow.
My two happy places.
The dream is real.
Yeah. Because when you fill in for us, I know people say that you're even happier and clappier than I am.
Right.
As a liberal.
Yes.
But I think that you're going to turn out to be right about this healthcare thing. I am very hopeful.
I certainly think that reconciliation is definitely the way it is heading towards. I think the quarterback sneak of getting the public option in is also another option. Although I think like the jobs bill, which passed going up today, there's a lot of things that were knocked out of it so that they didn't carry with them the sort of diseased extra parts the Republicans were trying to toss in just for votes they would never give in the first place.
It is a little teeny tiny bill. Mini Kiss will be playing at the signing.
Right, exactly.
But still. Yeah. And the president will have a little teeny tiny pen.
All right. So I think that public option could also come after the vote on it because it certainly qualifies for reconciliation after the vote passes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a little sketchy.
Here's the thing. I would not give up yet. This is what I get annoyed sometimes with progressives. You know, people a year ago were like, you know, not even a year, a few months. Oh, it's dead, and they're right. You're right, Pooh. We were going to lose the House, too, in 2010. It's like, we're in the middle of the fight.
Yeah.
Don't. I'm all fired up because I watched Roadhouse the other night. I'll tell you about that when we get back.
Oh, my God.
Patrick Swayze's dreamy. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Nothing to see here, just a couple of clowns and...
Stephanie Miller.
The world's youngest bearded lady.
I shaved for Hal Sparks' visit. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Chris, I don't know what's happening to me. I mean, coming domesticated. I just got Hal and a glass of water. I was like, honey, would you like some water? I'm getting some. And then Jim will get here and I'll have to bring him his pad. I'm becoming just a typical, 50s housewife.
Hey, Jiggles, grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
Oh, you get away.
Don't act like you don't like it.
Hal and I snuggled briefly in my bed this morning.
It's true.
Reveal that. But then I was like, get out, I gotta do my show prep.
Yeah, I came in to, like, kind of, we caught up on our previous night's activities. We're like that old married couple from the 50s.
They
like
don't do anything together.
Sleep in separate rooms and go,
last night I went out with the Bakers and they were wonderful. What did you do? Just so we can tell the kids the same story. You know, swinging is, you know, it's fine for us, but I don't think the kids can handle it.
What, you go to a key party?
Gee, Chris, what's a key party?
I don't know what that is.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, well, yeah, I get it. You switch keys, right? And then you go home
no,
with someone
no,
else.
You, you put your key in a bowl, and whosoever key you draw out of it, you have to go home with.
Yeah.
That is disgusting. You man whores.
I saw the ice storm. I know what happened.
they had that show based in Winnetka, Illinois, on, I think it was HBO for a while.
No, it was on CBS.
CBS, that's right. They were, it was literally based where I went to high school. Swingtown, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was an ice storm here in New York last night, trust me. It was very, very whiny. It was where your umbrella is, like, turning inside out. And I had an umbrella from my latest canceled television show, I believe. I was like, where did I get this piece of crap? Oh, the last TV show I had.
The last time you lived in New York, really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So we were talking about the healthcare debate on Thursday. First of all, Chris, when is it? What time is it?
What time?
And how long is it going on?
Oh, God, I don't know. I can check.
We have to get that information. I'm very excited about it. I can't believe you're leaving, Hal. We're healthcare geeks, and you're leaving. We can make popcorn and watch it together.
I know.
But I have to say, I've said this all along, and as it dragged on, of course, it's gotten difficult to watch, but I said, just wait. The president really may be playing chess and not checkers, and the rest of us are playing checkers. I mean, but I also think it's not time to give up. It's time to call your congresspeople, right? And like you were saying, I would not give up yet on, and I think the president hasn't either in terms of trying to get the most he can, and then we'll see what happens. But that's not when you give up the fight,
Right. Yeah.
Like Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God, Chris, I watched Roadhouse for some reason.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's great. It's Patrick Swayze is extra beefcakey and he beats up a lot of people. It's awesome.
It is.
That's a selling point.
We need to get a little more Roadhouse on their ass is what I'm saying because, we are still, like Hal said, this fight is not over. We even, the president, I think even the White House said this is an opening bid. This plan, I think he really is going into this summit saying, show us your ideas. I think, Hal, they'll either come to the table,
not.
Show the American people why we need to use reconciliation, right?
Which is exactly why that's the, why the Republicans are afraid of it, because...
Did you see Boehner yesterday, Chris? He literally, you remember before, he used to blubber about this, too many pages! There's so many pages. It's all you need to know is 1,900 pages. And literally yesterday, his spokesman was like, it's 11 pages. There's not enough pages in it.
It's too
he
short.
Did. He said, we're gonna take 1/6 of the economy of 11 pages.
Right, the irony. By the way, the 2,000-page bill, double and in some cases triple-spaced with charts. So when you really boil it down, and these are all, remember, these are the people who read Atlas Shrugged and apparently, believe in all the libertarian philosophies of Atlas Shrugged and Ayn Rand novels. And that one's 1,100 pages with Bible type. So at some point.
Yeah, they're such simpletons. That literally was the Boehner's comment on the original. But all you need to know is there's 1,990 pages. No, moron. That's not all you need to know. And then a spokesman yesterday ridiculed the health care proposal because it's too short. They said the White House's plan consists of an 11-page outline, which has not been scored by the CBO or posted online as legislative text. What? Yes, it has. It's on the White House website. What, it's not in the proper font? What do you mean it hasn't been posted as legislative text? So they want to reorganize 1/6 of the U.S. economy with a document shorter than a comic book? Seriously, I mean...
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's the perfect example, Chris, right? The president can't do anything right. It doesn't matter what he does.
Well, he can't be allowed to do anything right. That's bigger than it. It's not even that they think everything he's doing is wrong. It's that they know a bunch of it is right, and they're really afraid that it will actually be implemented. People will get used to it and enjoy it like they have every other Democratic...
like Jim DeMint isn't sitting in his office going, oh, it's not his Waterloo? Oh, no. Oh, no. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary yesterday.
And we look forward to what we hope is a robust exchange of ideas.
By the way, that robust exchange of ideas will begin at 10 a.m. Eastern.
Oh, why, thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
Good job. Good job.
How
long is this going on?
6 hours.
Wow, so I don't need to work for the second 2 hours of the show yet. Tomorrow is my main point.
Right.
It can be more drinking tonight because we'll just take the health care debate.
You got to work for the first 2 hours. Well,
first
right.
hour.
10 to noon, we'll just run the health care.
They're having a lunch break. They are having a lunch break. I don't know what time, but yeah. I saw that written into the, you know, you can actually look at the White House has not only posted their agenda for what it's like a regular, normal business meeting. They've got, here's what we're going to bring to the table.
Talk about it. They can't do anything right. He's like, this is being written in the dark of night behind closed doors. We want transparency. Oh, we don't want this kind of transparency.
Yeah, right.
There's cameras. We don't want transparency.
Yeah,
I don't even know how big the room's going to be.
Yeah, they can't see us actually talking because they'll see that we're really in the pocket of someone else. And we can't, you know, dare even approve of the things that they want. Those four legislative agenda points.
Oh, well, the smartest thing is the, you know, federal control over insurance companies being
Absolutely.
Able to raise rates like
right.
that.
And
explain to the American people why you're against that.
Right. And the antitrust exemption, which the president's plan removes the antitrust, you know, protection from the insurance companies. There's no way. I dare find any Republican ever in the history of being Republican that has ever even presented something like that, much less put it in a bill and actually offered it up as a point.
Yeah.
They're never going to. They never would. They're, you know, and that.
You and I watched Tweety the other day, Chris Matthews, and he actually made a great point, Chris. He was like going off on some Republican about it. He goes, when have you guys ever put forward a plan?
Right.
Historically, you wait for the Democrats and then you shoot it down.
Right. Yeah.
It's not fair enough. When, when have you ever?
Yeah.
Healthcare, when?
Ah. Right. Which is all true of every piece of legislation that Obama has put forward. All of he puts forth something that's sensible, very centrist in a lot of ways, and they go, this is absurd. The Republicans have a lot of great ideas. Well, where were they in the last 8 years when you guys literally had a crowbar? You had the Constitution in a headlock, and you didn't even think to offer these things.
Giving it noogies.
Yeah.
All right, Senator Reid yesterday.
The president did this because he wants to be able to reach out to the Republicans. That's who he is. He is not a partisan president.
That's what I was saying, how that really is amazing, is I think the president, of course the Republicans are afraid this is a gotcha thing. I think the president really is, I mean, if you look in the actual proposal, he really is still trying to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those things are compromises. They're things that the Republican ideas are
right.
in there.
Right, and they'd have to admit it, and they'd have to admit that they were in there all along.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too.
Well, how is it bipartisan to scrap the entire bill that we've all been working on for a year, including you guys, because X, Y, and Z that you proposed are in here.
Right, and the idea that they're also like, nobody's had time to read this, this is absurd. Okay, bills are marked up in chunks in different committees that handle different elements of them. They've all seen this stuff. They sat through hours of committee meetings breaking up every 100 pages of that bill.
Oh, I know.
In 10
After a year. We haven't had time. What?
Nobody's
going to
look at
this. We don't even know what's in it.
Wait a minute. You were in a committee meeting about this particular 100-page stretch of the bill. You debated every piece of it, and you still don't know what's in it. That's, I think, more an issue with you than with the president or the bills.
Yep. Yeah. Harry Reid, growing a reconciliation set. Hello.
Since 1981, reconciliation has been used 21 times. The vast majority of those reconciliation efforts have been by Republicans. So we have nothing's off the table. We'll have to take a look at that. But realistically, they should stop crying about reconciliation as if it's never been done before.
Right.
They didn't
Harry.
Stop crying. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Go, Harry. It's your birthday. Yeah, it's about time. I mean, that's what was some story I'm reading yesterday, Chris, online, that, you know, Democrats are, they're starting to, you know, what was considered just unbelievable, like couldn't be done 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Reconciliation. Wow. No. You know, we've been talking about it for a year, and now they're suddenly
right.
like, well.
Right. Now
maybe.
They're, after using the tyranny of the minority, Now they're all concerned about the tyranny of the majority. This is the Republican fear point, is that, like, this is, we should have the right.
The filibuster is a minority veto.
Right.
What, WTF.
Yes.
All right, 44 minutes after the hour, Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, one of our very favorite congresspeoples, coming up next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Come on. Roadhouse.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49, just when I thought I couldn't love Ghost Patrick Swayze. And then there's Roadhouse Patrick Swayze.
Yes.
Oh.
Roadhouse.
He got up a little earlier. You could actually see me doing karate in your back room, basically.
Really?
Doing basically the same thing he did in the morning. Yeah. It's true. Just saying.
Roadhouse.
All right. All right. That's enough.
But I didn't do
all
it shirtless, so.
Come on, let's get serious. The
Sorry.
Big healthcare summit is coming up tomorrow. We have one of our very personal favorites, Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, on the phone. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good. I need to tell you a private family fun fact.
Okay.
I was home visiting my 87-year-old Republican mom in Charlotte, North Carolina this weekend. And may I just say, you were the only Democratic lawmaker mentioned favorably by my mother.
Wonderful.
All right.
Well, let me tell you why. Because you've done a lot of great work on this, and as you know, cancer is something that is a obviously bipartisan thing that afflicts so many people. And my
cancer
mom has
is not
breast.
Part of it.
Yeah, my mom has breast cancer. She's 87, but she got it when she was 86, and but I was telling her how much I admired how you've dealt with it, and the legislation you're working on, and all that. And
thank you.
She reminds me of you. She has a great sense of humor, and she's like, I can't obsess about it and worry about what's next, and I did the treatment, and I'm,
You just gotta move forward. You gotta listen to what the doctors are telling you, listen to what your body's telling you, and press forward. I mean, that's,
yes. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Not let it beat you.
And then we got into that Sarah Palin's really smart and has a lot to offer, and then that's when things kind of went
fell apart.
That's when things fell apart. Anyway, then we just, and the letter she wrote
so well at my dinner table either.
Yeah, and then the letter she wrote to George Bush about how he was our best president ever, and that was.
Oh.
Then we got into some. All right, so we're talking about obviously the White House's healthcare plan and the big summit tomorrow. And I have to say, you and I have talked a lot about this, but I am more hopeful than I've ever been. Are you?
I really am too. I mean, this is an opportunity now to show the country, in front of God and everyone, that we have a plan as Democrats to make sure that we can reduce costs for people whose insurance has gotten astronomically expensive, to make sure that we can cover the 47 million Americans that don't have health care coverage, and stabilize and provide some security for those that do have health insurance. And, I've talked about this before with you, when I go home to my district, a couple weeks ago I was standing on the security line at the airport, and a small business owner whose business is in my district tapped me on the shoulder and said, Debbie, last year, my health insurance premiums that I provide to my 30 employees went up 172% because I have one sick employee. People just can't tolerate that. It's just not sustainable, and we've got to do something about it. And tomorrow,
I learned,
going to show how we're going to do it.
I learned two things from that story. One is that we need health care reform, and number two, your security people aren't very good. Now, are you able to actually grab a congressperson by the shoulder? I wasn't aware of that.
It was a pat, not a grab.
Oh, okay. That's reassuring.
He was gentle.
Okay. But here's the good. I'm sure you saw this. A new poll out shows less fear on health care overhaul. 3 in 4 Americans say reform still key to addressing economic woes. After a year of this solid, lying and fear-mongering, in my opinion, on the right, I mean, that is something to be hopeful about. Is it that, the president looks like still has an opportunity to take back this debate?
Look, you're right, Stephanie. Even with the onslaught of Republican opposition, Tea Party craziness, you still have about 80% of the American people that are hopeful that we will deal with health care reform because they know it's how we're going to get our deficit under control. They know that it's how we're going to make sure that we can provide that coverage to everyone, make sure that health care becomes people want health care, that people want to be entitled to health care reform. They don't want it to only go to the privileged few. They don't want it to be based on who has the most money. And the bottom line is that when you're sick, Americans believe you should be able to go to the doctor and not wring your hands over how you're going to pay for it and how you're going to take care of your children. I mean, that's what we're trying to get accomplished here. Republicans, all they're interested in doing is being obstructionist and blocking reform because it's about power for them. And I think the American people see through that a little bit. Tomorrow, it's going to really have the flea lights shown on it.
Well, I love the headlines I'm reading today. What the president's health care plan means, full steam ahead. Health care reform plan unveiled by the White House sends one clear message to Republicans. This is happening with you or without you, which I think is very smart politically. I think the president is really asking them to come to the table. And if they don't, the American people can see that on TV. And at least hopefully they'll see why we may need to use reconciliation.
Tomorrow there will be no hiding. there's going to be no hiding behind the skirts of so-called other kinds of reform that the Republicans have talked about that they want and that they've got ideas that we're just ignoring. This is going to be on television in front of the whole country, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, and they're going to have to show what their plan is.
And my favorite part, as you know, will be your actual Florida tan next to John Boehner's whatever that is.
Right. Spray tan. Yeah. It's a good time.
We'll see what's real and what's fake, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, covering 3 million more Americans, that's their plan, right? The House plan, the House Republican plan?
You're determined to get me to comment on John Boehner's tan, and I'm just not going to.
Yeah,
I know.
Good for
I try
you,
every time.
Congresswoman.
Yes.
She's from Florida. She knows from a real tan.
Do you think there'll be a drinking game on how many times the president says to the Republicans, yeah, that's already in there?
Right.
You know, when they bring stuff up. You wouldn't listen to us about this. And it's actually been in there since the beginning.
Right. I mean, how is it bipartisan? They're asking him to scrap the whole bill. I mean, isn't that part of doing this, Congresswoman, is to go, look, that's in there. That's in there. That's, you know, your ideas are in here. What, you know, how would it be bipartisan to scrap the whole thing?
The Republicans' attitude the whole time has been heads I win, tails you lose, and they believe, their definition of bipartisan compromise is, we do it only our way and get rid of all of your ideas. And the last time I checked, the American people elected Democrats to move the country in a new direction. And that's what Barack Obama has been trying to do for a solid year. And the Republicans have blocked him at every attempt. And in spite of that, we've had a tremendous amount of success. But it's important, Stephanie, let's focus on the things that are in the bill that the president posted online on whitehouse.gov on Monday. We have one of the largest tax cuts for small businesses in history to allow them to purchase health insurance for their employees, making sure that we close the donut hole for senior citizens, making sure that we can block arbitrary health insurance rate hikes like that 39% proposed increase by Anthem Blue Cross in California, getting a handle on the costs for consumers, and in particular, making sure that insurance companies can't drop you when you have a pre-existing condition.
Right, and
those
the
are
Anthem
problems that Americans need solved.
And the Anthem rate hikes, good timing, right, Congressman, for the Republicans to have to explain, really, why are you against federal regulation of, you know, insurance companies being able to raise premiums like this? Explain to the American people why you're against that.
I wouldn't want to stand at a town hall meeting in front of my constituents and tell them that I was opposed to blocking insurance companies from raising your rates.
Yeah,
I mean, I just don't know how.
Well, they're getting more and more desperate. They literally were bitching that the bill was too long originally. Now it's too short. It's 11 pages. They wanted transparency. Now they don't want this kind of transparency, not on TV.
Another important thing is something we're actually doing today. You know, the House is going to pass the repeal of McCarran-Ferguson today, and we're going to make sure that health insurance companies can't collude with each other for fixing prices. That's a more than 75-year-old law, and it's a long past time that insurance companies not be able to really hurt consumers by colluding, and we're going to take the first huge step to prevent them from doing that today.
Congresswoman, real quick before you go, the public option, you're a mom of little kids. Could it be like when you're grocery shopping, maybe that we could just sneak it in the cart at the end and you wouldn't notice? I think we'll...
Yeah, and I promise not to take it out like my mom always did when I did that.
Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, whom we love.
Yay.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, God, it's like funny Fleet Week for Mama. It's a funny board pileup on the 405. Dear God.
Yes.
It is Hump Days with Hal. So Hal Sparks is live in studio here with me in New York. We have, of course, executive producer Chris LaVoy. He's in Los Angeles. Jim Ward, voice deity. And Carlos Alzraki joins us.
You have the Village People. The Village People of voiceover. I'm the cop.
I'm the Indian.
I'm the spaceman on the comeback tour.
It's a funny boy cluster.
Hey, Indian, this is my land.
Right.
It's some sort of male view on acid. I don't know what's happening.
That's right.
StephanieMiller.com, the website, and we are video streaming here in New York on HalSparks.com.
Yeah.
What's the party up to in the chat room over there?
We got 385 people in there. Which
you know why, because Mama's wearing a see-through shirt today.
It's true. Mm. Yeah.
Does the fire department know about this?
Yes.
Good morning, Carlos.
Good morning, Steph. How are you?
It's great to see you again. Of course, Carlos Alzraki of Reno 911 fame.
That's right. Reno 911 fame. And happy feet, too. I just got back from Australia. Good on you. How you going?
Bonza.
You know, I noticed a bunch of happy people in Sydney with health care and no right to bear arms. They were seemed pretty happy to me.
How do they survive?
I don't know.
What?
They have a lot of sex and spend a lot of time at the beach, I hear.
So yeah, and they get sunburned. There's a place called Manly Beach right by the city.
Right.
Manly Beach. Yeah, but...
Now, if I'd want to go to Manly Beach.
It's good times.
Can't get more manly than my show this morning.
Good on you. I'm...
And just when you thought there could not be any more testosterone, here comes Carl Frisch from Media Matters for Right Wing World. Carl Frisch for Media Matters for America. So inviting to me. Oh, Carl, welcome to the Stephanie Miller Circle for this morning.
You know, there are so many men on this show today, I thought I was still at CPAC.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean Clan PAC?
Yeah.
We really are like a morning zoo this morning. Bring on the slide.
Whoa.
Whistle. Where's the most of them on it?
I'm going to be doing a weird stunt later.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Carl, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, and see what's doing. Tom Davis in the Situation Room. Oh, apparently we shouldn't even bother having this health care debate tomorrow because it's all over with. Apparently.
We've had a referendum on this in Massachusetts and elsewhere. The issue is jobs. Unemployment is still hovering around 10%. And every day the Democrats are talking about health care or something else and not talking about jobs, it's going to come back to haunt them.
Oh, okay. We better drop that whole thing now.
The issue is still jobs, and that's why we will not be voting for the president's jobs bill.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, every time I hear them talk about a referendum on health care, I just have glimpses of those town hall meetings. And then I remember the exit polls for Massachusetts that said that health care had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
So,
well, exactly. They have their health care. You know, the message was screw the rest of yous. But, you know, and then I laugh because I'm like, oh, we had a referendum in Massachusetts. You mean Scott Brown, who just voted for the jobs bill?
Exactly.
And the right-wing blogosphere exploded?
Yeah, they said he was wicked.
Well, yeah.
Wicked. He's probably a Yankee fan.
All right. Steve Hayes on the Britt Baer Show.
I find this totally perplexing. I do not understand what the White House is doing here. You know, we've seen them make blunders. Yeah. We've seen them make blunders in particular on health care. But you look at how they are handling this debate in the aftermath of the Scott Brown election when they lost the numbers. People don't want to be talking about health care, and the White House is not talking about health care.
No.
And potentially we'll be talking about health care going forward. It seems to me that they're reading the wrong polls.
Yes. Why do they keep trying?
You know, I don't know why they go to Stephen Hayes anymore. I mean, he is not the Stephen of the conservative movement. That would be Stephen Baldwin.
Right.
And I would much rather hear from him and maybe that guy from Goonies.
Well, I don't know which polls they're reading,
Chunk?
Carl, but I'm reading a poll shows less fear on healthcare overhaul. 3 in 4 Americans. That's almost 75%, Jim.
Yes.
Say reform is key to addressing economic woes. It's a nonpartisan poll that they just did. 3/4 of Americans still think it's important that Obama...
It's the wrong poll. It's the wrong poll. You're reading the wrong poll.
Sorry. Right. Did Luntz approve that poll?
Frank Luntz has to approve every poll.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Exactly.
I'll bet he does.
I think the Democrats just need a chalkboard and an evil Mr. Whoopi Glenn Beck. A long time ago, Tennessee, there were a bunch of troublesome donkeys in the way. But us white people believed in Jesus, and we kicked them out. Whoopi! Thank you, Glenn Beck.
You know, this weekend was the first birthday of that chalkboard.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
So I celebrated by drinking some Kool-Aid.
It's the evil 3DBB.
Oh, speaking of Glenn Beck, I have to feed you an entertaining little tidbit of Republicans eating their own. Here is the lovely and talented Mark Levin on Glenn Beck.
You can't wear the clown nose and not wear the clown nose at the same time. Just a suggestion. Stop dividing us. What I see across the horizon today in my 40 years or so of conservative activism is unity like I've never seen before.
What?
And it's not unity because of hate for Mitch McConnell or Boehner or whatever. It's contempt for this president and Pelosi and Reid and what they're doing to this nation.
Oh, what they're doing to this
they're
nation.
Doing...
Jealousy is such a pretty color on him.
Yeah. enjoy that shade of green.
Yeah, this is not the only guy that criticized, you know, Beck or CPAC. You had old Bill O'Reilly, who was taking flack from Rush Limbaugh for daring to say that people shouldn't spend all their time criticizing the president at CPAC. And Rush talked about it for like 25 seconds on his show, and the very next day, Bill O'Reilly was walking it back with an entire show about simply just asking him the question, is Barack Obama a socialist?
Well, maybe Bill needs reparations from the president.
I think he's missing his loofah.
Yeah, you know what? Here's what I love. I'm going to break some news on the show this morning. This is big news, I think, for talk radio, Carl, and particularly, well...
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, thank you, Hal, for progressive talk radio. But there is a new big FM talk station in Syracuse, is the breaking news, that has just added why...
Stephanie Miller.
Yay!
And Michael Smirkanish and Mark Levin.
Oh, wow. Oh,
the
boy.
Station is being branded the Big Talker 105.9. So you know what that means, Chris?
What?
Mark Levin is going to be forced to do liners for me, like I am. Like I am for the right-wing tools
Stephanie
that I'm sometimes
Miller.
In.
Sarcastic.
Anyone who knows Stephanie Miller, and there aren't many, knows she has no audience. She's been up and coming for 20 years. She's sarcastic and ultra-left wing.
Oh, man. That guy's voice just screams, give me your lunch money, punk.
Yeah.
Right.
God.
You know, he'd probably have an easier go at radio if he didn't hold his nose the entire time he talked.
Yeah.
Please stole right. my lunch money. I'll get them. I'll have a show someday.
I think he's the voice of Gargamel in the
Yeah, exactly. Smurfs. I was like, doesn't he irritate Smurfs for a living?
O'Reilly on Obama's health plan. Here
get ready
go.
For higher taxes. That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. President Obama says his health care initiative will cost almost $1 trillion over the next 10 years, but some analysts believe the cost will be double that. And because the USA is nearly bankrupt now, higher taxes are coming.
And by the way, get me some iced tea, MF-er.
And by the way, Bill O'Reilly, they're having a health care debate on Thursday, and they're doing it live!
Do you want to know why he thinks it's somehow going to be double? This is conservative math for you. What they've done is they've added the price of Obama's proposal to the price of the Senate proposal.
Really?
As if they're both going to happen at the same
time. Wow. That seems disingenuous.
It's like saying the budget deficit is $18 trillion. After all, I've added it over the last 50 years.
Right. Oh, man. Unbelievable. You know, here's my favorite story yesterday, Carl. I don't know if you caught this, but how much money Michael Steele is spending as the head of the RNC so that he can have press conferences to talk about how
wasteful
Obama
spending.
Isn't a fiscal conservative.
Well,
he's,
like,
role, baby. He's like punch-drunk spending the RNC out of existence.
In fairness, I understand that the RNC winter meeting was in Hawaii because they were going to be looking for Obama's birth certificate.
Yes.
And that Sarah Palin is the new budget advisor at the RNC. So
Michael Steele, the Garrett Morris of the Republican Party.
Right.
No, really, he's black.
Yeah. He's, you know, Jim, that must just be how he rolls. He's apparently...
Don't be a player hater.
Yeah.
He inherited a $23 million surplus at the RNC. By the end of 2009, the surplus had shrunk to $8.4 million because he apparently is spending on a lot of bling, a lot of private planes,
limousines,
catering.
Can the gold teeth be far behind?
They had the Evil Wolfgang Puck cater their Christmas party, and the year before they had Chick-fil-A. So.
All right, one last O'Reilly.
There's no question the far left is losing most of its policy battles these days. Public opinion polls show that. What? And the fringe left are not good losers. Their new tactic is that the folks are too dumb to understand the brilliant progressive agenda.
Yes. That's exactly right.
That's pretty much it. I mean, the Big Bang Theory is pretty popular on TV. That's all I know.
Well, yet again, listening to Bill O'Reilly read from a teleprompter makes my ears bleed.
Yes. By the way, I think Bill O'Reilly is a great, accidental name. Way to go.
You know what I love, Carl, is they're sounding a little panicky before this healthcare summit. Oh, really? We're losing everything.
They're calling it a trap. We have an item up on MediaMatters.org documenting tons of conservative media figures talking about how this is a trap. Like Obama's going to take a teleprompter and beat them over the heads or something.
Uh-huh. It kind of does remind me of that scene of 300 where the little boy is luring the big evil wolf into the corner and he's going to jab a spear into him.
Not much further.
Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right, there we go.
The bill's too short. The bill's too long.
They're trying to jam it down. It's a trap. It's been over a year. They're trying to jam.
Did you see that, Jim? Literally the boner who had said the bill's too long,
it's too
short. The 11 pages.
Hey, what do you want, Goldilocks? You want some warm porridge?
You know what he is? He's like the princess and the pea with that health care bill.
He is.
He's just like, oh, it's too, I can't, oh, now
you're
it's
thinking
too
Goldilocks.
A woman in a shoe store.
You're thinking
it's too short. It's too long.
Lady, your foot's this big.
Yeah, it's too medium.
Yeah, Steph, that's more Goldilocks than Princess and the Pea, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. Princess and the Pea, the mattress had to be just right. When he sleeps on a health care bill, it's not the right... Okay,
He's going to be irritated by it no matter what.
Okay, there you go.
I think that's where she was going.
I was just trying to make a girly reference. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back with
Goldilocks is a girly reference.
With my comedy Fleet Week here. Hal Sparks in New York, Jim Ward, Carlos Alzraki, Chris Lavoie in L.A. We'll be right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, Morning Zoo, with a massive amount of comedy, testosterone.
Yes.
Morning Sausage Fest.
Yeah.
Have some extra sausage.
Yeah.
23 minutes after the hour. Hal Sparks, it's Hump Days with Hal live here in New York. Jim Ward and, of course, Carlos Alzraki joining us live in the L.A. studio.
Yay.
Carlos, tomorrow night we'll be at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills.
In Agoura Hills, that's right. You can go to the, canyonclub.net and check out all the info on that. 8 o'clock with Cedric Yarbrough from Reno 911. We're doing our little two-person show. So if you're not on the East Coast and you can't catch Hal Sparks and Chris Bond on, you're out here. Catch another two-person show, which is far less intelligent, but it's a big black man and a small white guy.
Fantastic.
And please, go see Carlos live. His physical comedy is
wonderful. I'm fabulous, man.
It's true. It doesn't really carry on radio.
It's just rubbery.
Like, can't really. Or in cartoons.
Right. His arthritic poodle barking for his food is a comic.
But Jim and I were just talking about how Cheney's heart is surviving. It's just amazing. And I just had this theory that Liz Cheney comes to his hospital bed at night and gives him that sort of evil slither kiss where the slug just goes out of her.
Daddy, open up your mouth. Right. More power.
hate.
Ew.
Yeah, I got a visual.
In case you were wondering how Dick Cheney's heart survives.
I got a visual on that one that I don't want.
The slither kiss from his daughter.
You know, I do. I know. You don't. You have to. I'm trying not to be. Because, you know, as you know, we wish him well. I'm just saying, he is like Robo-Satan. This is his fifth heart attack, and he's like, he's fine. He'll be out tomorrow.
I don't think his heart can handle all that hate and fear. His heart just wants to grow three sizes like the Grinch, and he's going, no!
No.
The Grinch won't let his heart grow!
I don't think actually...
You know, that's probably what it was, Carlos, is he said something good about gays serving in the military, and his heart tried to grow. No!
Nah!
One of these days, he's going to tell the doctors, just take it out. Take the damn thing out. I don't, right. I don't want it. I don't need it.
I think he was in line behind the Tin Man at Oz, and I was like, I'm sorry, pal. I gave the last one away. I hate you! Oz sucks. I'm going to destroy it with black water.
It's a symbiote he doesn't pay attention to. It's more like, more like that thing, Quato in Total Recall.
Yes.
You know,
growing from his
stomach. Advice.
Yeah.
I was supposed to talk about that on Ed Schultz last night, but that's part of their, I think, the topic they were talking about is, you know, here we are, they're saying, you know, nobody should have health care, and is anybody getting the kind of health care that Dick Cheney's getting
right
in this country?
Yeah,
you know
government health care.
Yeah.
Screw you, I've got mine.
Can get you through five.
I think he needs to be visited by three ghosts, but he'd probably kick them all out. I hate you, Jacob Marley, get out of here!
Right.
Your chain is a ponderous one.
Oh, I'll eat your chain.
All three of the ghosts would be from the Nixon administration.
Alderman Ehrlichman and Colson. You're
right, exactly. Colson. All the guys he started with and committed early
Colson's
crimes.
Colson's still alive, right? Theoretically.
I spell a Broadway show.
All right. So the big health care debate tomorrow. Chris, you said 10 a.m. Eastern it starts?
Yes, that's when Obama will make his opening remarks.
Woohoo! By the way, I'm not sure where this, I think it might have been Newsweek, but a fine American named Katie Conley wrote a great piece, What the President's Health Care Plan Means, Full Steam Ahead, President Making Clear the Train is Leaving the Station, Republicans Have One Last Very Public Opportunity to Make Suggestions to Improve the Bill. Liberals have been longing for this sense of inevitability about health care for months. It shifts the responsibility to break the deadlock to Republicans rather than having Democrats scramble to find a Republican vote here or there. Right? Posting his plan early, the White House has laid out an expectation for Republicans to reciprocate with concrete suggestions. The difference is Obama has set the parameters. He's decided that proposals must build on the basic structure of the Senate bill. He won't accept talking in generalities or vague attacks on a government takeover of health care. He's laid out his ideas, and he wants real, thought-out alternatives in return. If Republicans can work with that, they might well find their proposals incorporated in the final bill, like they are already. If they can't, then their window to shape the reform effort closes. Republicans should be nervous about Thursday's White House summit, as Obama demonstrated during his question-and-answer session with House Republicans in January. He has unparalleled skill in destroying frivolous arguments and calling out political games where he sees them and has no qualms about doing so. Good stuff. I think, I'm guessing, Jim, that the boner is probably at Barfi's Bar and Grill as we speak. And into about his fourth rusty nail.
Rusty nail, Rob Roy. Mix it all together. Get a margarita, gin tonic, or just throw it in a blender and get puree.
He's going to have to rebronze probably like between drop sweat and crying. He's going to have to rebronze like three times before the meeting tomorrow.
The room's too big. It's too small. The bill's too short. It's too long. I have color bronzers to wear.
He's streaked like a tiger.
Yeah.
He looks like Tony the Tiger.
He run around some trees and make some milk.
The bill is great.
Oh, God, the boner.
All right, Representative James Clyburn yesterday.
Reconciliation is exactly what George W. Bush did to get his tax cuts passed.
Thank you.
Yes.
Nice.
Finally.
21 times, right?
I feel Democratic spines regenerating.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
Yeah, exactly.
We can make it better.
$6 million president.
Jim, you're right. We could rebuild them. We did make them better.
No, don't say that because that'll be another charge against Obama. He's bionic, too. And in parts were made in China.
He's got the kung fu grip.
He's a Kenyan bionic.
Right.
All right. Oh, maybe Carlos Alzraki will be the one person to answer the question. If Jamie Summers had a bionic ear, why did she need to move her hair to hear out of it?
Yeah.
Because the director wanted it that way.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
When it comes to
Stephanie Miller,
I just get all flustered. How could you not? I mean, the girl's all eyes and boobs.
Well,
it is the. I'm just explaining to the people on HowlSparks.com that I have a sports bra on, so they're flattening them out a little bit.
Yeah.
Is that because you're going to go right home and do your P90X?
I am. Yeah. Indeed, I am.
She's been doing it.
I did it yesterday while he was there.
Yeah.
He was being the husband putting together my chin-up bar and swearing in the other room.
Yeah.
Cool. And the dogs and I were doing my P90X.
The day dogs. Before, I was passed out because I have a normal stand-up comedy schedule where I sleep during the day and my waking hours are at night. And I wake up and it sounds like the roof is caving in because she's upstairs doing the P90X on the floor. And it's just, and this whole place, by the way, her apartment, it like ebbs and flows, like the wood there was laid in place in like 1902, and so it has this creaky give and take like an accordion when you walk across it.
Right.
You cannot sneak anywhere in this
place.
It's
like Paranormal Activity.
Exactly.
Yeah, he came in after his third date last night. I'm like, Owen!
Right.
Mama wants to know where you were, Owen. Mama stop, needs stop to know. Stop sobbing around.
That woman is evil.
Carlos, my life has become that old joke you used to do about, come change Mama's bathwater. Yes. She had an accident.
Mama had an accident. How? Mama's ringing the bell. Have
you finished putting together my chin-up bar? Make my P90X dinner.
Yes. I'm stuck in the panic room.
Get away from me, you horse's ass.
Do you have a panic room, Stephanie? It sounds like your house is big enough to have one.
You have an upstairs.
Yeah, we could find one.
Have an upstairs in New York.
Nobody has an upstairs.
Yoko's up there. Excuse me, Yoko. I need
judging
to
the judging from the first, the four front doors, I'm guessing the whole place is a panic room.
Mama's a little paranoid.
Oh, yeah. Will Smith up there with his German Shepherd.
You locked doors one and two, but not three and six.
Oh, it's a red letter
Stephanie,
week.
Stephanie, I am Legend Miller, living all
right.
It's a red letter week for me, as you know. I've been married to Hal Sparks for the last couple of days. We're living in domestic bliss here in New York. Well, he's leaving tonight, so that's fine. At least I know when it's over. However, the big healthcare summit is tomorrow.
Yay! Well,
I've got to read this. I think it's Newsweek. Katie Connolly, but... great stuff. The president is outright rejecting the Republican calls to throw out the existing bills and start the process from scratch on Thursday, as he should, junking a year's worth of effort so Republicans can score some political points and then probably end up opposing the president's bill regardless is a silly fantasy. And Democrats have absolutely no reason to believe the Republicans would vote for any new health care reform plan that helps the president progress one of his signature issues. Yeah, I was saying, Jim, I'm sure Jim DeMint's in his office going, oh, it's not the president's Waterloo.
Well, it is his Waterloo, but he's Wellington instead of Napoleon.
Right.
Yeah. Switched,
Yeah.
If this was girls' high school, it would be like daring Republicans to quit bitching behind Obama's back and say it to his face. Thursday is an opportunity to explain to Americans his plan again, a plan which, as the new Newsweek poll demonstrates, gets more popular the more people understand it. And that matters not just to the president, but to those nervous Democrats in the House who will no doubt be pumped up if the president delivers a rousing and convincing argument for his proposal. The hope is that they'll be so psyched they'll vote for the Senate bill. That's as much the aim Thursday as reaching out to GOPers. Republicans will no doubt spend most of this week attacking the summit as a showy trap.
They're probably all at Kinko's trying to print out a fake birth certificate. That's how we'll stop them. We'll print out their birth certificate once and for all.
It's the dirt hole in silence of the Republicans. The president's just going to put a basket with lotion down there.
Newt Gingrich accused him of being like the democratic socialists in Germany during Hitler. When those are the actual people who opposed Hitler. Those are the people who are trying to take him down.
I'm not sure Americans will fall for that. Being given a chance to discuss your ideas on TV hardly constitutes a trap, but the GOP will try to discredit the summit because they know it's the outcome that matters. And the president has made clear today the outcome will be a passage of a health care reform bill, whether Republicans agree to it or not.
McConnell was not happy.
They're trying to jam it down our throat, McConnell.
How about Enrico Morricone?
Here is Senator Mitch McChinless now about the...
Putting a new name on a whole lot more spending is clearly not reform.
Yeah, American people want to die.
Trying to jam it down our freaking
lose their houses because they can't afford to make
it. Oh my God!
Primarily, Jim, there is still no new upper lip for Mitch McConnell.
No,
this bill does not provide an upper lip for me, so I think it's a wasteful bill.
And if you're gonna put me in a jar, could you at least poke some holes in the top so that I can breathe and put a piece of lettuce in there so that I can
forever live?
And now here is our favorite, the boner.
He's basically crippled the summit that's expected on Thursday by coming in with a rerun of the same failed bill that couldn't pass the House or Senate.
What? It did pass the House and the Senate.
It couldn't pass the House, but it did pass the House.
Where's my spray tan?
I haven't been in the House or the Senate in weeks.
That was an out-and-out lie.
Yes. Yeah.
It passed the House and the Senate. What is he talking about? A failed bill that didn't pass the House or the Senate.
Did anyone point that out to him?
No.
At
no.
the press conference?
No.
By the way, you're wrong on both counts.
By the way,
did anybody snort milk out of their nose?
By the way, let's start with... All right, and secondarily, you're kind of a moron.
No questions. All right. No questions. I'm not going to answer questions.
Senator Judd Gregg, Republican of New Hampshire, on how reconciliation is totally different this time.
It's not to pass a bill which is going to change 16% of the way our economy functions and everybody's health care delivery system.
Oh, so it's fine for tax cuts for the top 1%. Right. That's fine. Yeah. That doesn't affect anybody. Okay, that didn't get us, like, the huge deficit that we're in now. I see. That wasn't important, so that was fine for reconciliation.
Got somebody a yacht in the Grand Caymans.
Yeah.
Right-wing weenie Eric Cantor.
The definition of insanity is to continue to do same thing and expect a different result.
Like saying no?
And the president clearly seems to be trying to prove that true.
By dragging us out and showing that we're insane.
Yes. I'm smart. I have glasses.
Look how smart I am.
I so want to knock the books out of his hands. I just...
What books?
Oh, no, not another swirly.
Certainly not Harry Potter books.
Don't you love? Did you see the story about how even in the Bush administration, Henry Paulson and all the others thought he was a dunce?
Yes.
They're like, yeah, let's go with Eric Cantor's ideas. Because his ideas were like completely on the, what was it, when they were in the midst of the bailout and day.
Whatever. It's just inflammatory language like trap, insanity. I love it. It's just peppered with these dangerous,
Frank
loaded
wants
words.
It's typing
totally. These all pulled very well. Insanity and trap sounds very good.
Right. Nazi.
How about insanity trap? No, that's
it's
too many.
Insanity. No, it's too
insanity. Nazi socialist trap. Kenya.
That's good. Kenya.
Yeah, I love this story. This is like even the Bush administration was pantsing Eric Cantor when it first came up before the House. The TARP program.
Man, that guy's dumb.
Not another atomic wedgie.
The TARP was defeated after House Republicans failed to deliver on their promised votes. At the time, House Minority Whip Eric Cantor and other House Republicans circulated a plan that instead of authorizing the government to purchase toxic assets, would have it insure hundreds of billion dollars in mortgages. An economist noted then, I can't manage to find any reason to doubt that the House Republican plan would destroy the U.S. financial system, as it actually gave mortgage holders an incentive to push for defaults.
That's what we're going for.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Hank Paulson didn't think much of Cantor's plan either. Meetings with the Senate GOP were a complete waste of time for us, he said. And Eric Cantor's suggestion that TARP be replaced with an insurance program was met with outright derision from Paulson, ridiculing Cantor's insurance plan by sarcastically suggesting the administration abandon efforts to prop up the collapsing financial system just to try out Cantor's unproven, unformed insurance scheme.
What are you, a complete moron?
Yes, I am.
And I'm proud of it.
I mean, the story goes on to point out TARP, for all of its warts, it really did pull the economy back from the edge, and the ultimate losses are going to be far below the headline $700 billion, and in theory would be totally recouped by the Obama administration's proposed bank tax, which Cantor, of course, opposes.
Right.
His plan would have ruined the U.S. financial system.
The Fed made $57 billion in profit last year.
Hmm.
And part of it was it jacked up. About a third of that came directly from early repayments on the TARP funds.
Yeah, here's
on the bank bailout.
I love this story of the the main person bitching about the lack of fiscal responsibility by the president. Of course, RNC Chairman Michael Steele, who is spending twice as much as his recent predecessors on private planes, paying for more limousines, catering, and flowers.
That's just how expenses, I roll, baby.
That's how he rolls,
right?
Expenses that are infuriating the party's major donors, who say Republicans need every penny they can get to win back Congress. Most recently, they grumbled when he hired Wolfgang Puck to cater the RNC Christmas party and move the annual winter meeting from Washington to Hawaii. What? The exotic foreign country of Hawaii? Michael Steele is an imperial chairman, said one longtime Republican fundraiser. He flies in private aircraft. He drives in private cars. He has private consultants that are paid ridiculous retainers. He fancies himself a presidential candidate and wants all of the trappings and gets them by using other people's money. He's the P. Diddy of the Republican Party.
By the way, that sounds exactly like the Republican plan for everything. I mean, I think he's trying to
prove. So he can go on TV and talk about the president's deficits and lack of financial responsibility.
Right.
And speaking of catering,
story. Do you know that the Tea Party Dilemma is actually having a potluck because that would be a socialist activity of sharing food?
Right.
Oh, no.
Bring your own lunch, for God's sakes.
Everybody brown bag it. No one's allowed to look in the bag of the person next to them.
Tea Party.
Not right.
All right, 44 minutes after the hour, back with all the boys. Hal Sparks in New York, Jim Ward, Carlos Alzerachi, Chris Lavoie in L.A., right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you have any disgruntled employees?
Hell, they're all disgruntled. I ain't running a damn daisy farm. My motto is do it my way or watch your butt.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I get it because I'm lousy with boys this morning.
You totally are.
Yes. It is the Stephanie Miller Morning Zoo. Hal Sparks and I here in New York. Jim Ward and Carlos Alzerachi.
We're going to call and wake somebody up.
Right. I'm standing outside a 7-Eleven asking girls to take their tops off for a T-shirt and a visor.
You know what? I started out my radio career being that guy who would go out and do the street stunts.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
That's not. I did the. You remember the Katharine Hepburn and the traffic copter?
Yes,
I did the different voices and the. Yeah, you remember.
Well, it's not looking very good on the Skedaddle Expressway.
And then I did Linda Blair with the weather. It's hot as hell this morning. It was hilarious.
Wow. Hilarious. So we all have our morning zoo experience.
Yes, we do.
I don't.
Oh, okay.
except as a touring stand-up comedian, being on practically every morning zoo show.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I did one last time I lived here. You remember, Chris, in the, let's just say the late 80s.
Yes. Yeah, it's always fun when you walk into
I did
into
the morning show on Hot 97 here, if you remember.
In New York, yes.
Yes.
It's always fun
I
when
did hilarious on. Characters like Honda Ronda, Leona Helmsley's roommate at the Women's Correctional Facility in Brooklyn, and Lola Lombada. It was, those were the days.
Oh, boy.
Good old morning radio. It's always fun when you're on the road, and you walk in, and they got a picture of Obama as a Nazi, and you're like, hey, you want to talk about your show? Not with you.
Not with you. Right. I love when they tell you, like, don't mess with those guys. Don't bring up politics because, you know, the Skeeter is really Republican, and he'll go crazy. And then you actually go after him, and he folds like a house of cards. And you're like, oh, I see. You're dumb. That's what they meant when they said you're Republican.
You made Skeeter cry. Now you're really in trouble.
Yeah, right. Now all the listeners want you back.
All right. Wow. So, not so funny, the Toyota testimony yesterday. Did you watch this?
Oh, my God. It was heartbreaking.
The witnesses, it's the first of three congressional hearings on Toyota's recall problems, testified they believe they have found a possible additional cause of unintended acceleration. How terrifying is that? It's like Christine the car.
Right.
One has to do with the vehicle's electronic throttle control system.
Right, exactly.
Rhonda Smith, did you see her?
She said
the car revved out of control shortly after she entered the highway. Neither the brakes nor the shifting the car into neutral or reverse brought it to a stop.
Right. Wow.
But what's sad is like 4 years ago, this would have qualified as frivolous lawsuits.
Yeah.
This is what they want to eliminate with, tort reform.
Exactly.
When you keep hearing tort reform, imagine a woman careening into a tree at 100 miles an hour in a car she can't stop.
No.
But that's obviously a computer problem. If the transmission doesn't even respond.
Right.
Here she is, Rhonda Smith yesterday.
I put the car into all available gears, including neutral, but then I put it in reverse, and it remains in reverse as the car speeds to over 100 miles per hour down the interstate. I placed both feet on the brake after I firmly engaged the emergency brake, and nothing slows the car. I figured the car was going to go its maximum speed, and I was going to have to put the car into the upcoming guardrail in order to prevent killing anyone else. Oh. And I prayed for God to help me.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
I mean, just the dry cleaning alone for her pants and the seat, I would imagine.
Well, I'm just glad she's able to tell her story.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, how amazing is that she lived to tell this story? Yeah. So she continued.
After 6 miles, God intervened. As the car came very slowly to a stop, I pull it to the left median. With the car stopped and both feet still on the brake, the motor still revved up and down. At 35 miles an hour, it would not shut off. Finally, at 33 miles per hour, I was able to turn the engine off. We've never wavered from our belief that our problem is electronic, not wandering floor mats.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, wandering floor mats.
Right.
Yeah. Floor mats. Our floor mats have yes. diaspora.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Our floor mats would prevent me from putting the car in neutral. Yes.
That sounds like a band Tom Hanks managed in the 50s. It's the wandering floor mat. I'm sorry. That's bad.
They're a one-hit wonder, the wandering floor
Absolutely.
Mat.
Absolutely. Yeah. The one-hit wonder. They wish it was
it's
one hit.
It's not your fault. It's not your
20% of hits.
Wow. Oh, I had. You guys had a terrifying experience like that. I had one that, Chris, as you can imagine, was due to my own bad driving in the 70s and not... although I wish I could go back and sue Dodge Dart, because you remember I had a red Dodge Dart with no shocks.
Yes.
What? Oh,
but in Buffalo in the winter, I remember I hit an ice patch or whatever and just, like, spun out of control. And it is terrifying if you've ever been in that situation.
Oh, yeah,
just,
sure.
You really do. You're just a little Catholic girl praying, and then the car stops, and you're like...
Right. My buddy Chris Bono, who Carlos mentioned, has this bit in his act where he talks about skidding on black ice across six lanes of highway, cars crashing all around him, and he stops, and he goes, "Oh, my God, I'm alive. I have an angel. I have an angel that killed 12 other people."
Yeah.
Didn't care about them at all. Thank God.
Well, you get what you pay for.
Exactly right. I put good money into that angel.
I put money into that plate every Sunday, see?
Right, exactly.
It'd be a shame angel almost to be a car.
It was a car insurance right. angel.
Because angels believe in the free market system.
Yes.
Representative Bart Stupak, a Democrat of Michigan.
What we found is quite troubling. Toyota all but ignored pleas from consumer to examine sudden unintended acceleration events. They boast in a briefing of saving Toyota $100 million by negotiating a limited recall. They claim that they first became aware of sticking pedals in late October of 2009, when in fact they had received numerous complaints many months and years earlier.
God, sticky pedals? That's not like I have a sticky D key on my keyboard.
Yeah.
Sticky pedals.
That's not going to kill you.
No, yeah. Exactly. And if you hit it long enough, it'll actually work.
Right. Exactly. But the transmission aspect of it is the most troubling.
Right.
Because that's obviously a main computer problem.
Yeah. I have,
operation.
I've had no
How
problem.
How did I not know with this many guys this would turn into car talk?
Don't drive like my brother.
I have allowed my show to be.
I got a Toyota there and it drives just fine.
I got a Prius.
Chris, you can confirm this. Anytime somebody calls in about a plane, Jim Ward's like, "Oh, what kind of plane you got there?"
And yeah.
Got my liberal wagon.
Check that seventh Fetzer valve. It's all ball bearings nowadays.
Representative Ed Markey and a Toyota executive.
Why didn't Toyota take immediate action to prevent the much later accidents that Toyota clearly knew the problem existed?
Because he didn't have
as far back as 2000.
I can tell you that a weakness in our system has been within this company, we didn't do a very good job of sharing information across the globe. Most of the information was one way. It would flow from the regional markets like the United States, Canada, or Europe back to Japan.
Oh.
Can I just say that we've learned it recently in many, many instances, we have learned one thing, and that is God is clearly a Democrat. This happened, of course, just as we're about to finish health care and realize the tort reform, maybe not the most important part of health care reform. Health insurance companies raising their premiums now.
Right.
To 50% or whatever in certain states.
Yeah, 39% overnight.
Yeah. It was like, remember when Bobby Jindal mocked volcano monitoring and then almost right behind him?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
God, clearly a Democrat is all I'm saying. Just news events just conspire to make Republicans look like morons.
I'm a nerd from Louisiana, and since there are no volcanoes here, why should I give a crap? It's not like I'm an American or anything. I'm just from this seven-block area.
That'd be like taking away hurricane monitoring for the state of Louisiana.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and by the way, which would be mocked, being mocked by a Washington State official.
Right.
They're like, "What do I need hurricane? That's ridiculous. I got a volcano here. I'm worried about
levees. What
levees, schmevees.
Yeah. All right. Bluey. All right.
58 minutes after the hour. So we'll be back with more Boy Fest.
Yummy.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm feeling good. It is Fleet Week for Mama. 6 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 104 points, and I'm lousy with comedy sailors. Why, I have Hal Sparks here live in New York. We have Jim Ward and Carlos El Zarraqui, along with Chris LaVoie, back there in L.A. I forgot to say goodbye to Carlos, so he's still here.
I'm going to hang out a little bit more, and thanks for having me this morning. You know, I'll listen in the last 9 minutes. But come out to the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills if you're in Los Angeles. The Brixton in Redondo Beach on Friday night, and the Coach House in San Juan Capistrano. It's all available on CarlosAlizRaqui.com.
And we have a link to CarlosAlizRaqui.com up at StephanieMiller.com. Because AlizRaqui is a little bit of an alphabet soup of
That's
a name.
Right.
And now, yeah, we think of everything. And also at HalSparks.com right now, you can see Mama and Hal in the New York studio. Hal is streaming, as the kids say.
We're live streaming, absolutely. And we've got 576 people in the chat room.
Wow.
577, beg your pardon.
Call the fire department.
It's a, those are, you know, especially.
Fire in the crowded HalSparks
right,
room.
Exactly.
Just unlock the back door.
There you go.
And they're all saying hello, by the way, whenever we bring them up.
StephanieMiller.com, the old-fashioned, you know, horse-drawn website of Mama's.
Right.
Who still uses paper calendars, as Hal pointed
out. Right, yeah.
Since we lived together here in New York for the last 2 days anyway.
That's like a Joan Crawford thing. Paper calendars!
Yeah. No more paper calendars ever!
No wire hangers ever!
There
you go. Because the calendars, they got small.
Exactly.
The Palm Pilots that got small. Well, yeah, that was kind of the point.
And my, may I just say, Jim, my social calendar here in New York, still not really so great. Mostly it's when it's time to give the dogs flea medicine. That's on there. And then just my various media whoring.
But
here's my biggest media whore story yesterday. Hal can confirm this. He was there when the Ed Schultz show called at the last minute.
Yes.
And I was supposed to see a friend I haven't seen for years, and I've never even met her children who are... And I was like, why, of course, what time do you need me?
Yes.
Screw my friend, I'm children. I was going to be late for that so I could do some media whoring.
What am I going to do?
I didn't call them back in time. I hesitated just a skosh in my media whoring, and it was too late.
That'll teach you. What, I want to see some of their formative years? What a waste of time.
Hal Sparks were the cutest little media couple. He went and did Joy Behar yesterday.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You did Joy Behar?
Does Mr. Behar know that?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. The view was incredible. It was a good time. Went on and talked about, invariably the Lindsay and the Lohan and the Tiger in the Woods and the.
The Lindsay and the Lohan? Celebrity stack today.
She came out and said she went through rehab three times.
Mm-hmm.
Her dad was using coke in front of her when she was young and blah blah, and that kind of led her into it. The most worrisome part was.
And he was having sex with her mother, so that's where she got that idea about women. Oh, come on.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Yes.
Stephanie.
And that she said it's at the end of her interview, she said she still drinks occasionally, and it's just not okay to party that hard. Which was a little like, we might end up with you back in some sort of situation if you don't. Partying that hard is the kind of, it's a little hard to work that line. I think her problem, and I brought this up on the show kind of at the last minute, and they, of course, cut me off because it was too substantive of an argument, was that the problem is with prescription meds, that the big evil nobody's talking about, you know, from Heath Ledger to Lindsay herself to everybody. I mean, when you've got Colin Powell on Ambien during the first Gulf War, and you've got, the elder Bush on Halcyon during that one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's why he yacked on the Japanese.
Because
of Halcyon? Really?
Yeah, on Halcyon.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Very bad.
Yeah, those were the Halcyon
If it
days.
Comes in a clear plastic bottle with a label, it's okay.
Yeah, right. As long as my doctor gives it to me.
We're the pharmaceutical industry.
Exactly.
Oh, by the way, there's a squeezy element to the Lindsay Lohan story, too, Jim. She admitted that she was surprised when she embarked on a relationship with a woman. She'd never been attracted to one before. She said, if I wasn't with Samantha, I'd probably be with a boy next.
Yes, but why would you be attracted to a chick that looks like a dude?
It's transitional. It's the same thing that happens when you go to a vegan restaurant and they have meat, you know, substitute. They're like, it's fake chicken because I'm used to eating chicken, but I want to be a vegetarian, so I've got to eat the tofu.
Are you saying Samantha Ronson is tofurky?
Yes, she is. She's the sexual tofurky of lesbianism. And it's okay. You know what I mean? It's... Not, you know,
whatever
it's not
helps you get through it.
Exactly. It's not a, it's a slippery slope at some point. I mean, that's
literally.
Why do you think the biggest ads in the back of the LA Weekly are the transsexuals? Women with an apparatus.
Why can't you be like Ellen and get hot girlfriends?
Exactly. Well, that's you later. You know what I mean?
All right. By the way, Jessica Simpson's dad has told John Mayer to shut up because he's the only one that gets to talk dirty about his daughter.
Oh, yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Oh, I thought he was like, hey, like, look, I know what stupid things sound like when people say them. Trust me.
He apparently reportedly blasted John Mayer in a furious phone call. Joe Simpson warned him to never contact or even speak about his daughter ever again. John put up a feeble defense. He tried to reason with Joe that he was praising Jessica, not insulting her, but no father wants to hear from an ex-boyfriend how hot his daughter is in bed. Because it's his job to talk about how hot his daughter is, apparently, in some creepy way. Okay. How about that John Mayer interview,
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, you know, and I, you know, it's one of the, I feel like one of those people who is like, I told you he sucked. Like, nobody would listen to me. And everybody's like, but he's cute. I'm like, trust me. There's some, and you know what? This is the big part. And Carlos, you will probably join me in this pile on, is that he's now trying to do stand-up.
Don't pollute the industry, please.
Yeah, he's been going to clubs around town in New York.
At least you always were a musician.
Yeah,
I was
exactly.
going to accuse you of the same thing if you weren't an actual.
Yeah, no.
I bet you he's going to be worse than Epstein from Welcome Back, Kotter when he tried it. It's just like,
oh, no.
It's where he's going to have a middle act like Screech had, and then he's going to try and drag it out into an hour.
No.
Yeah, remember after the interview,
I guitar parodies.
He said, I need to quit trying to be funny. We're like, that was supposed to be funny?
Yeah, wow. That's hilarious. I've always said, yeah.
Carlos, have you ever met someone that you would want to quit your life and snort them?
Oh, quit my life and snort them? Yes. My fiance.
Oh, that's a good save.
Good answer.
Woo. Nice save, Chevrier.
Yeah.
so you've gotten over that Diane Lane obsession.
Oh, yeah, Diane Lane. Yeah. After, what was it, Walk on the Moon. I wanted to bust into her trailer and be a stalker.
Would she still be your free pass?
Yeah, well, yeah, because hers is Russell Crowe. My fiance's is Russell Crowe, and as David Feldman said, mine is the babysitter. No, David Feldman,
you mean
all rights
reserved. It's the marital celebrity
facilitator. Her free pass is Russell Crowe. Mine would be Diane Lane.
Yeah.
But Russell Diane Lane Crowe, from A Little Romance.
Nice. And that's just like Grizzly Adams with a shave.
I've gotten letters that I'm on some men's, which means they have incredibly low expectations. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really? The cable news geek? That's all that?
She won't try to run away. I know that much.
Yeah. Smart, funny, shut in. What? I mean, I don't know where you are.
What's not to love? Right. You pull the dog hairs off and she's fine.
Yeah.
Mama needs a man.
It's, you know, it usually if you're going to have a sexual apparatus in your hand when you're having sex with a woman, it's usually not a lint roller.
Although that'll work in a pinch.
You're right.
What's lint doing up there?
Not right.
By the way, Chris, Hal Sparks, as you know, went grocery shopping for me, brought me flowers and my dog's bones the size of their head.
Yes.
So here's the update on that. The bones the size of their heads have disintegrated into several thousand smaller bones.
Oh, boy. Are they real bones or are they
on
like
which
raw
I mostly... I broke my ankle almost several times yesterday.
Are they rawhide bones or are they real bones?
No, it's a real bone.
Real, yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, those tend to splinter, and so I
we
was
got them at
told
Whole Foods or something.
Yeah, yeah. I got them at Whole Foods. Okay. And, I mean, it's like, I mean, these are beasts. These animals are incredible. I mean, like, I actually bought those for my own safety. I had planned, I gave them as gifts, but they were really just kind of like offerings to the gods, you know, like early man when there was still one dinosaur left in the woods and they would, you know, take the weakest of them and leave it at the edge of the village. It's like that.
These are the same bones that Dick Cheney chews on. I approve.
With his manga heart with tentacles.
Well, you guys remember this. As comedians, Janet Jackson, the wardrobe malfunction that ruined everything.
Mm, yummy.
For those of us that like to talk dirty. A federal appeals court re-examined the FCC fine it threw out against CBS over Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction during the 2004 Super Bowl halftime show. The U.S. Supreme Court last year, SCROTUS, I'm guessing, directed the lower court to consider reinstating the fine.
Sounds like a He-Man enemy.
It's the conservatives one. The conservative ones, the SCROTUS.
I'll get you, SCROTUS.
So we meet again, SCROTUS.
Wonderful times.
By the power of Grayskull.
By the power of Grayskull. Oh, I had to go there. Sorry.
You did. Wow.
Yeah, that's what led to this slippery slope. In Colorado Springs, Colorado, puppet cleavage has been nixed for bus stop ads.
What?
Puppet cleavage has been ruled out for the advertising poster in Colorado Springs bus shelters. It's Avenue Q.
They rejected
posters that show cleavage of a fuzzy pink puppet because it's a very conservative Christian area.
Oh, boy. Right.
That's where Focus on the Family is.
Yeah. And we're reserving the, you know, those, you know, puppets can only, like, you know, be like Jeff Dunham's where they can just be sort of racist.
Spew racist crap.
Yeah, exactly. Like have a Mexican, you know, jalapeno on a stick that the only smart one is the old white guy. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
that's
Carlos, before you go, you found a story about a gun story.
Oh, my gosh. New York Times. Virginia wants to repeal a law that now it's been repealed that will allow you to carry guns inside bars where they serve alcohol.
Yeah.
And the day Obama got elected in Fort Worth, Texas, the Cheaper Than Dirt's gun store was just done sold out of business. Come on down to the Cheaper Dirt gun store. That Negro got in office. He gonna take your guns. And Virginia Tech still, where the shootings happened, they wanted to arm students on campus. They're still trying to pass that petition until they find out that the Pakistani Student Council wants to participate. We would like to sign the petition to pack it on campus. Okay, we didn't mean you people.
No. Yeah.
We just meant whitey.
We meant only
Let's
the
not get crazy.
Where we think that'd be a good idea.
By the way, there was a, you know, there was a shooting yesterday.
Oh, really?
In Colorado again. Yeah. Wow. And a guy, a grown man walked into a middle school and shot two students.
Just miles from Columbine.
Yeah, just miles from Columbine. The upside to this exchange was that he was tackled by the basketball coach before he was able to reload. And the reason it took him time to reload and why he wasn't able to shoot these kids kind of randomly was because he was using a rifle. He couldn't get a handgun and he couldn't get an automatic weapon. So he was only able to, like, both of them are expected to survive. They had surgery yesterday and they're expected to pull through.
Seems like there should be a ban on automatic weapons.
It's funny. In some parts of the country, I was just in Charlotte, North Carolina visiting my 87-year-old Republican mother, and I told you the Republican congressional candidate there, he just had a fundraiser where you could eat barbecue and shoot an AK-47.
This might be an obvious talking point, but we're all afraid of people with exploding underwear on planes. Since 2001, 136,000 people have died from guns, and the terrorists are literally 132. We cannot keep up with these Americans.
They kill themselves
in
bigger numbers.
They kill themselves quickly. They're taking our power.
Yes, guns, smoking, red meat. There's no way we can even, to the gunk they allow their businesses to dump into their water. What are we supposed to do?
They're brilliant. They're eating themselves to death in the first place.
So,
all right. Carlos Alazraki, you can see him tomorrow night if you are in the L.A. area at the Canyon Club in Nagora Hills, right?
That's right, with Cedric Yarbrough from Reno 911.
CarlosAlazraki.com is the website. Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Al. Thank you, Sammy, Chris.
Absolutely.
Jim.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you as well.
19 minutes after the hour. We're down a man. We've got a man down, but thank God I've got a lot of extras. We'll be back with Hal Sparks and voice DD Jim Ward and Chris LaVoy. In the meantime, Hal Sparks can attest that I did my P90X yesterday.
It's true.
While he was
hoping that was what you were doing upstairs. It was very noisy.
I got a letter from Anne about P90X. Steph, I'm glad to hear you started the program. My boyfriend and I did it last summer, and it kicked our asses. Yeah, trust me on this. I know. Yeah. He was an All-American wrestler in high school, and he said it was the most difficult workout he has ever done. I want to encourage you not to get discouraged and stick with it. And also, Chris, you can modify. That's what I learned.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool.
I got to do the girl push-up still. I got to do the knees down. I can't do that. You got to modify.
Uh-huh.
You got to do your best and forget the rest. That's what my trainer Tony Horton says on the DVDs, who I have a really big crush on now.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, she Anne goes on to say, we're going to start it again next week. I was invited to a Women's Day spa in late May, and I have to walk around naked all day. I'm counting on P90X to get me ready. I love your show. I have a 45-minute commute from Olympia to Tacoma, Washington. I only wish it was longer so I could listen. We love that. People that wish their commute was longer.
Aw.
Because... All right. Do what Anne and her boyfriend and mom are doing. Take the P90X challenge. I'm doing it. You should, too. I love this workout. I did, what did I do, Chris? Back and, what do you call it?
Chest
yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Back and chest.
Back and chest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's about, most of them, they're like 45 minutes. You get to stay at home. I get to work out with my dogs. And it is the best workout I've ever had. Try it now. P90X, check this out. 90-day radio exclusive in-home trial where you can try it for the full 90 days. If you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. What do you got to lose? Call now, 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go to my website, stephaniemiller.com, and click on the banner ad.
Look at that.
Mr. and Mrs. Stephanie Miller, or right. As I like to call them.
By the way, I have the P90X. I got it because I travel all the time. I'm not being paid to say this at all, but I actually use it. So there you go.
He really does.
Yeah.
Because you use mostly your own body weight. You can do it anywhere.
Yeah.
21 minutes after the hour. That was another unsolicited testimonial from Hal Sparks.
True.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's her political party, and she'll cry if she wants to. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
26 minutes after the hour. Someone in the chat room at HalSparks.com were video streaming.
Uh-huh.
Hal and I in the New York studio asked me to tell Hal the shower cap story, which I...
He
needs to see. He's lived with me for 2 days. Like, he needs to see that I'm an even bigger loser.
You let your
shower
cap on
fire. A long time ago, I had a date. I had my hair blown out, and so I put a purple shower cap on, and there were candles, and it lit on fire. Anyway, that's not important now.
She set her own head on fire, Michael Jackson style.
He was very sweet. He's like, I think you overplay the whole loser thing. I'm like, no, I don't. You see, you lived with me. I'm a loser. I'm not overplaying.
No, I think, you know.
Shower cap in front of a date, Stephanie?
Listen, it was before Japanese hair straightening, and it costs a lot of money to get your hair blown out of the salon and so it looks nice. If you put it in the bath, it'll get all frizzy and icky.
How many dates had you had with this person before getting naked in a bathtub with them?
I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
It was when Mama
had gentlemen callers.
Was it the first date?
I'm confused.
No.
It was not
the first date.
Hold on. I'm confused. I'm still confused. You didn't mention that the person was in the tub with you at the time. So you realize the fire is not the problem. The shower cap is.
Yes.
At that point in the date, it stops mattering what your hair looks like. The whole point is that it becomes a hot mess. You know what I mean? There should be a nice ratty knot at the back.
Yes.
From gripping. And I
had to go to a dinner party last night, and Hal's like, don't wear anything complicated. What time are you coming home?
Oh, right. Yeah. Start, buttoning up some sort of weird truss mix. I don't know what this is.
All right. The jobs bill passed. Just today, right?
Yeah, just now.
Just this morning.
Okay. Yeah, we're supposed to pass last night, but it... let's play It's Getting Hot in Here. Let's take off all our clothes in honor of the naked guy in the truck, Scott Brown.
Senator Zoolander?
Yeah. Exactly, Derek Zoolander.
Senator Zoolander, yes.
Senator Zoolander from the great state of Massachusetts. A month after being crowned the darling of national conservatives, the Republican Senator Scott Brown of Massachusetts is being branded Benedict Brown. For siding with Democrats in favor of a jobs bill. He was the biggest target on conservative websites, talk shows, and even Facebook page his campaign has promoted as an example of his new media savvy. Oh, heavens. He was, we campaigned for you. We donated to your campaign, and you turned on us like every other rhino, said one writer. The conservative tilting drudge report had a picture of Brown colored in scarlet.
Yep.
The scarlet letter.
You said it? Because they have no idea what that actually means.
Yeah. Because he's an adulterer? What?
Yeah, right. That makes no sense, actually. That's a terrible literary reference for that.
Yeah, well, they're trying to make a communist reference out of it, I think.
Yes.
Well, at least we got something done, Jim. It is a teeny tiny bill, and Minnie Kiss will be playing at the signing ceremony. Right. The president will use a little teeny tiny pen. But, you know.
Writing in microscript.
Exactly. Or he has to choose tiny font. 29 minutes after, but at least it's a start. 29 minutes after the hour, back with much more on the, we have to talk about what Steve King said about the guy that flew his plane at the IRS building.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Stunning Steve King.
What a surprise.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Maybe the nicest was
Stephanie Miller,
who you know as the Pittsburgh Poisoner.
I know a lot of people want to know, Chris, what's married life with Hal Sparks like here in New York? And he's been living with me for 2 days now. He leaves later tonight. But anyway, and then my life will fall apart. However, for now it's magic.
Aww.
He is, let me tell you what honey's going to do today.
Okay.
Here's my honey-do list today. He, first of all, has to get a new screwdriver because the one I have doesn't work on the PX90 chin-up bar that he's putting together. And then he's going to go get Mama printer cartridges, which is so great. Because I have stuff to do. I got a thing with a guy in an interview, right? Somewhere. Yes. Okay. So.
Is Hal going to tell you where to go, too? See your secretary?
Yeah. No, I only do the manly buff things because that's what she likes.
Yeah, you got to look at her paper calendar to tell you where
yes,
she needs to go.
Yes, and I don't know how to work one of those things. I'm a modern man.
Although he did go grocery shopping for me, too.
That's
and he
true.
Bought me tea, which I hate. But anyway, that's the important
and
thing.
And honey.
And honey, which I don't use. But anyway, it was the thought that counted.
Why don't you use honey?
Yeah. I don't like tea. I don't drink tea. But I was just very sweet of him. It was the thought that counted.
I also got dates, and she didn't like those either.
I don't like dates.
Yeah, I don't like dates either.
She's got the palate of a 9-year-old redneck child.
You really do.
Ew. You know what I like? Okay, I like pizza, spaghetti, and I like fried chicken. That's good.
And melted cheese sandwich.
So good. Oh my god, and gravy fries are awesome.
Gravy fries.
You know, totally. Like, what?
That is not true. I eat generally pretty healthy. I have gotten a little. I mean, you know, come on, New York pizza's a little like crack. You know what I'm saying?
I'd much rather have Chicago pizza. There's some substance to Chicago pizza.
Oh, substance.
Too much
starch. Like a cake with a big, everything but the kitchen sink on top of it. Oh, I'm going to Chicago Saturday. I better shut my pie hole.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah, by the way, is that up in our calendar section? Can you go to that if you want? I'm speaking to the DuPage County Democrats Saturday night.
Nice.
And party with the fine folks at WCPT, our fabulous Chicago affiliate.
Absolutely. I actually am doing an event with them in the summer. Like, I think August 5th and 6th is probably going to be the date for it. Very exciting. Yes. Doing a little promo for them. Doing stand-up.
Good.
Yes.
Fabulous. All right. Goodness, this is some more bad news for the right wing right before they look at this. The CBO estimates the stimulus has employed up to 2.1 million workers. You know, they're nonpartisan, Hal. I'm not sure you're aware of that.
Yeah, right. How many was that? 2.1 million.
For months, of course, conservatives have been claiming that the stimulus has failed and not created one single job.
Mm. Unless they can take credit for those jobs and then
they
reappear.
Yeah. The checks keep getting bigger and bigger.
Right.
The nonpartisan Congressional Research Office saying it is responsible for 2.1 million jobs in the fourth quarter of last year. CBO calculated without the stimulus, the unemployment rate would be up to 1.1% higher. It also said that unemployment is higher than analysts predicted after passage, because that's been a talking point of the Republicans, due to greater than projected weakness in the underlying economy, which he inherited.
Right.
Rather than the lower than expected effects of the stimulus, which is, as we've been saying, working exactly the way it's supposed to, and we only spent a third of it so far.
Yeah, exactly. And the jobs bill is supposed to add 275,000 jobs, and that's not including the ones that it maintains, that it helps to keep on. But it's creating incentives for people to hire new people. That's the 275,000. And then you get more incentives if you keep that person on for a year.
Yeah.
So my assistant will be very happy to know that she has a job for the next year. Just because she's a tax write-off now. And I love her.
You would be my assistant, except that I'm not paying you anything. But,
well, it's a matter of, barter
payment
exchange.
In kind.
The IRS still sees that kind of exchanges. never mind.
Right. Oh, by the way, Hal Sparks will be filling in for us in March.
That's
When we go on vacation, March 22nd. In fact, he will be staying at my place. I'll get free dog sitting.
Walking
he gets
her
to host the show.
Walking her dinosaurs.
Everybody walk. Boom, shakalaka.
Boom,
akalaka, boom.
Yeah, that's going to be my. That's going to be my. Yeah, exactly. That's going to be the theme song of the show that week. Yeah,
that's very All About Eve, isn't it? It's very single white female.
Yes, it is.
He's going to become me. He's going to magically
find me, like Norman Bates, dressed in like a long black wig, standing in the corner. Like,
he'll come in dressed in like gym clothes, a baseball hat, and Uggs.
Yeah, just,
right. It's my sports bra. It's pulling me down.
Just don't get stabbed to death with a stiletto by the neighbor.
Right. You have to watch out. Or she crawls into bed with me, and, pretending to look like her. Oh, my God, it's not my girlfriend. It's somebody else. Oh, no.
Jason in San Diego wants to borrow Hal. Hello, Jason.
Hi, folks. I'm a married man with two kids and two dogs, and
the deal with Hal staying at your place, taking care of the dogs, buying things for your day-to-day sounds awesome. So,
yeah.
Stephanie, if it's not too much of a problem, I'd like to offer Hal a place to stay if you ever come through San Diego, because I could use the help.
Oh, thank you. You laugh. But Comic-Con, everybody knows how hard it is to find a place to sack out on during Comic-Con because every hotel's out. So, you laugh, but the nerd will be knocking
come
July 15th. Or whatever.
All right, Jason.
Actually, I'll be there.
All right, Jason, you get away from me. He's my man. Okay, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. So you didn't just play a comic book owner in Queer as Fuck. You are a comic book geek?
Yeah, originally he was a sci-fi nerd in mm-hmm. the British series, and the writers didn't know anything about science fiction, so they're like, what other options do we have? And they literally went, do you know anything about comic books? And I went, yeah, I'm a huge comic book fan. They went, okay, comic books it is. I'm like, that doesn't matter. I'll study whatever.
Jim, this acting thing is so confusing for me. So wait a minute, you're not really gay, but you are really a comic book.
Right. Though I am into different comic books and for different reasons than Michael would be. It was a very important distinction so that you could create a character that was actually a full, well-rounded person
kind of comic books.
Yeah, right. not the old Christian, dollar bill-sized ones that told you how evil Bewitched was.
Right.
Not into those. I'm more discriminating than that.
Here's how bad things are out there. I've mentioned I have a friend that got foreclosed on. Man bulldozes $350,000 home to avoid foreclosure. An Ohio man says he bulldozed his $350,000 home to keep a bank from foreclosing on it. He said he struggled with the bank over his home there for years and had problems with the IRS. He says the IRS placed liens on his carpet store and commercial property. The bank claimed his house as collateral. He owes $160,000 on the house. He spent a lot of money on attorneys, and he said he'd finally had enough.
Sounds like cutting off your nose to spite your face.
A little bit.
Yeah, perhaps.
At least he didn't hurt anybody else.
Yeah, that's true.
Like Joe Stack did. So did you hear what the stunning Steve King had to say?
Oh, yeah.
At the CPAC. Joe Stack, as you know, allegedly a right-wing extremist who wrote on his website, violence is the only answer, expressed anger at the IRS, the federal government, health care reform. Some on the fringe right have declared him a hero. Representative Steve King was at the CPAC, asked if the right-wing anti-tax rhetoric might have motivated the attack. King implicitly agreed, noting he had been a leading opponent of the IRS for some time. He noted, though, the attack was sad. By the same token, it was justified because once the right succeeds at abolishing the IRS, it's going to be a happy day for America. He sympathized by saying, I've had a sense of why is the IRS in my kitchen? Why do they have their thumb in the middle of my back?
That's going to do nothing to the IRS. It
right.
did, however,
yeah.
kill one guy and severely badly burn two innocent people.
Right.
Isn't it amazing how, when there's a domestic terrorist, they find ways to justify it. And if it's anything to do with Islam, then, of course, it's denounced immediately.
Yes, but that guy set his underwear on fire. Torture and kill him!
Right.
King said, I think if we'd abolished the IRS back when I first advocated, he wouldn't have had a target for his airplane.
Wow.
Oh, I see. So it's not really his fault so much. As,
no, right.
Yeah, the fact that there's still an IRS. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
it's like that Pat Buchanan argument about Hitler. Like, Hitler didn't want to invade Poland. It was just everybody was so mean to him.
Yeah, it was forced upon him.
Yeah.
Democrats say Steve King has some splaining to do about his comments regarding imploding IRS offices. King told a crowd of the conservative activists, he could empathize with the man. When asked about it during a House vote last night, King didn't exactly deny making the comments, but he implied it by challenging Media Matters to find the video. So, I see. Everything's got to be on video, even though clearly a lot of people heard him say it.
Right.
Last year, as you know, the Department of Homeland Security released a report warning of the dangers of rising right-wing extremism, as evidenced by the shooting at the Holocaust Museum in D.C. and by a Pittsburgh killer who was partially inspired by Glenn Beck. Members of Congress, even, like the crazy Michelle Bachmann, have called for people to, quote, get armed and dangerous against the administration's clean energy policies. King's quasi-embrace of the Texas terrorist grievances is similarly dangerous.
Right. I think he's officially, you can call him the first teabagger terrorist.
Yeah.
I think that's a good moniker for him, considering that's exactly the side of things he fell on. So, yeah.
Tim in Richmond, Virginia, on Guns and Bars. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Steph. speaking of armed and dangerous, Carlos was talking about the new Virginia law about carrying guns into bars. You know, I'm a musician in Richmond. There's a place I play once a month, three or four fist fights. And, you know, it's just going to get crazy out there. The other night in a bar down the street.
Well, who can't agree that guns and alcohol is a good combination?
Yeah, that's right. Jim, yes. You'll remember David Allen Coe, I'm sure. He was playing down the street, and his fans who, you know, average IQ 80, you know, spilled into the street. And it looked like a white remake of Do the Right Thing. And if those guys were armed, I'm telling you, Steph, I'm really scared being out there.
Yep, I hear you. Thank you for calling, Tim. What I don't get, guns in church? What? Why is that necessary? What, are you using communion hosts as, like, clay pigeons?
Right.
Paul, what? Why? I don't get it.
Well,
it's not about the guns for them. It's about the personal freedom.
Right.
Freedom to do what you want.
Freedom to have one at home so that you're more likely to shoot yourself or your child is more likely to shoot one of your other children or a friend. Mm-hmm. Because statistically, that's the case.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the slippery gun laws around the country are actually sort of like the old smoking laws, or lack thereof, that we need some way to, you know, thin the herd. And everybody's aware that not everybody can cash their Social Security checks. So we let certain people have things that we know are dangerous because they'll take care of themselves. And that's sad, but I think there's a level of truth to it.
Hmm. All right, Cletus. You want an AK-47 and a Jägermeister, okay.
Exactly right.
You feel that's wise.
But because with the chance of you hitting 65
or
now.
Here is preemptively your Darwin Award.
Right, exactly.
45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of Hump Days with Hal as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Next to food and music, this is mankind's greatest invention.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
We're finishing up Hump Days with Hal. Tune in tomorrow morning for the exciting conclusion and find out whether I ever put out or not. Hal paying for the cab ride to work this morning.
Yeah, you're not going to put out.
It's going to work out.
Yeah, you're not going
to
put out.
We are the cutest little couple ever, though, I have to say. We watched MSNBC together. We chatted politics. We took a cab to work together. He's going to buy me printer cartridges and put stuff together later.
We had a little mini spoon this morning.
We did.
Yeah. In your dog pajamas? She wears flannel dog pajamas.
Come on, don't bust me.
You wear flannel pajamas?
I wear a very sexy negligee. Hal Sparks is a liar.
For the record, I got you those for Christmas one year.
No.
You did.
Yeah. Yes, she has to. Yes, and they're being well used. She has to wear them because the stately Miller Manor is a breezy old claptrap. with lots of, it's a very porous old building in a really nice part of town that was, built by, I think the characters in Scorsese's movie about New York. I think actually Daniel Day-Lewis's character built it. And it's a kind of amazingly breezy in places. Mm.
That's where you find the value of
fortunately
putting pajamas.
Fortunately for me, Jim, Hal's not a negligee guy. He likes the, what did you call it?
The smart college girl, like flannel, sweatpants kind of look.
That's me.
Yeah. Cotton undies and tank tops,
there
that kind
go.
Of stuff. I like lingerie's a,
the kind of girl that he goes, hey, she looks like she knows what Rachel Maddow's talking about.
Right, exactly.
She understands it.
And yet is more interested in me than Rachel, which is lovely.
A 30-year-old man was arrested for DUI after an officer saw him swerving. Here's things not to do in the drunk stack. I know you don't drink, Hal. But he refused to take a breathalyzer, but then while he was being driven to jail, he asked the officer several times what his favorite drink was and asked him to turn on his blue lights, which is right away a sign that you're drunk.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah. The blue light. That's going to be the boner tomorrow, Jim, after the summit.
The boner.
Turn the blue light on.
Turn on blue lights. It was a trap they made us talk about.
Do you like listening to me? Do you like Rusty Nails or Harvey Wallbangers?
They made me go to happy hour after the meeting. And first, the pictures of Rusty Nails are my favorite.
I like the blue lights that make me feel better and make me look less orange. Do it!
Hey, I'm looking at something on ofgoatsandmenblogspot.com, and it says Hal Sparks' 9/11 official story is horse poop.
Well, that happens. That's not... yeah. Oh, says if it, yes, yes. I got attacked for my little We Are Change video,
yeah.
Jim, as you often do. And, yeah. You know,
I'm sorry,
and
can you go back to men with what, Jim?
We are, what is it? We are goats, what?
Ofgoatsandmen.blogspot.com. Yes. Hmm. They also noticed something interesting here. The Fort Hood shooter subscribed to a neocon publication. And that, what's his name, the Joe Stack, had he shared a hangar with a, a Homeland Security Initiative Program Manager. And he also had all kinds of security connections. Huh, that's really odd.
And Dick Cheney still has a lot of friends in the Pentagon and the CIA.
Yeah.
That's not important now. What's important now is the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven has died.
Oh, no.
Is there
going to be a light bulb in his casket? Put up,
yeah. Did they do what, Jim?
Is there going to be a light bulb in his casket?
Jim, FTW,
Jim
for the win.
Yeah,
day.
Jim Ward with the score. Shoot,
yeah.
Score.
Yeah.
Nothing but net three-pointer.
Circle gets the square.
And they're going to keep opening and going, is he done yet? Right. Oh, come on. Anna's just helping, you know. Okay.
That's the wonderful.
Did you know, here are the fun facts of, did you know this? How he thought of the Easy Bake Oven. A Kenner salesman made a trip to New York City upon returning. The salesman wondered aloud whether Kenner could develop a toy version of the chestnut roaster seen on many New York city street corners. Mm-hmm. With that remark, the proverbial light bulb clicked
Bing.
Over.
And then an actual
the
light bulb
head,
went on. Yeah.
Ronald Howes, inventor of the Easy Bake. An actual light bulb went on.
It's one of the first, bipartisan sexual toys that you could get, like where it was really aimed at girls hardcore, but boys were also like, I'd like to bake a cake.
Yeah, my
I want to make my own cakes.
My sister had one, and I had to try it out once.
Yeah,
wish I could find those kind of cakes, like cherry cakes and orange cakes.
Oh, yeah.
They don't really make those.
No. Well, considering that you actually have one of those little... You know, bake whatever they. I don't even know. Like she has a microwave and then
toaster oven.
Yeah, a toaster oven. That's what
you
it
don't
is.
Know what a toaster oven.
Well,
is?
It's not that I don't know. It's just that I forgot because it's been since my grandmother Mima had one in her home.
I don't think anybody's
toaster oven's not an old person thing.
Yes,
what
it is.
That's exactly what an old person would
think.
This is
one of those bake things.
No, it isn't.
It's my nephew's. It's not even mine. So there.
Oh, no. You have a toaster oven, Stephanie?
First, he starts on my paper calendar. Now he's down to the
toaster oven.
Oh, my
next.
God.
And the fact that I like to listen to old jazz at
home. Do they still make toaster ovens?
Oh, yes, absolutely. With people who don't want to use microwaves because they scramble
the... You know what? Get out.
The cellular structure.
I want you to get a flight out of town later. Oh, you already are? Okay.
Yeah, I'm already. Yeah.
All right.
After I finish just installing printer cartridges and then assembling your...
I'm guessing the negotiation for fill-in hosts on any radio show in the country don't go like this.
Yeah.
I'm like, can you fill in for us this week in March? He's like, yeah. He's like, can I stay at your house? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, will you pick up the dog? He's like, yeah. I'm like, all right.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
That's easy.
It always involves poo.
Fine with that. Do you mind if I have an Eddie Murphy Trading Places style party in your house where I get disgusted with the people I've invited over in the middle of it? You two people know how to use coasters? This is a Persian rug from Persia. Get the bleep out.
He did a whole scene from Trading Spaces the first time he was in my house.
Oh, right.
Like, well, I dreamed a Negro took all this away from me.
It was the Dukes.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to get to this because I thought it was extraordinary and a sign of how it's a new day, in my opinion. Did you see this? The commander of U.S. and NATO forces in Afghanistan went on national television Tuesday in Afghanistan to apologize for a deadly airstrike, an extraordinary attempt to regain Afghans' trust while mass offensive continues against the Taliban. In a video translated into the Afghan languages of Dari and Pashto and broadcast on Afghan television, General McChrystal apologized for the strike that they say killed at least 21 civilians.
Wow. That never would have happened under George Bush.
I know. I pledge to strengthen our efforts to regain your trust to build a brighter future for all Afghans. I've instituted a thorough investigation to prevent this from happening again.
Why is he apologizing for America? We hate the generals on the ground.
What? Yes, I'm saying. Does that make you look weak? to say, you know, this is not America. We apologize. We do not intend to kill civilians.
Right.
You know? And I mean, again, you need their cooperation against the Taliban.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's Republican meme about Obama. Oh, he's apologizing for America. How dare he?
How do you call something Operation Iraqi Freedom and then kill the people you're supposed to be setting free? You know what I mean? What is it? Free it of people?
Freedom of from their lives. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Free of human habitation.
All right. That's it for the Boy Fest. HalSparks.com is Hal's website. Thank you, chat room people and video streaming
viewers. Yeah, we are great
viewers
today, by the way. We had 600 people in there now.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
He had the Trading Places party in the chat room.
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to thank executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice Deedee, Jim Ward, Miranda in for Rebecca. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.